So last night was really interesting because I didn't realize that Pluto was scooting back into Capricorn until like I woke up this morning. And I was like, oh my God, like I check the astrology multiple times a day, and I was like, how did I not note that this was happening, that Pluto was going to scoot back into 29 degrees Capricorn? And now in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense because if you're still like a beginner with astrology and you're kind of grappling with like planetary meetings and sort of like the medicine of different planets. For me, I've just kind of come to think of Pluto as a planet of the past and the planet of something that carries like not only our karmic lessons, but sort of our generation's karmic ties together and like what we were supposed to learn or what we are learning from each other. Like within our sort of peer group, if you will. And I think that's why Pluto tends to bring up a lot of shit. Like when, this planet moves back and forth between this 29 degrees Capricorn to 1 degrees Aquarius, there's something there about like, ooh, Pluto's pulling us back into something starting today. Like there's some review, there's some like pop quiz about an old lesson, or there's something from the past that is potentially popping up in order to be resolved, in order to develop a new story with Pluto. And in general though, just because I say like that Pluto is this planet that carries our karmic stories, it's not to say that Pluto isn't like a healing force. Because some would say that out of all the planets, Pluto actually heals us in this like very deep shamanic sort of banishment of negative energy kind of way, right? And there's something here too about like re-narrating our relationship to the past, and maybe even self-forgiveness or forgiveness of things that we did when we weren't completely, I don't know, like aware of our wounding. Forgiveness of others who weren't completely aware of their wounding when they were interacting with us. That's kind of what I'm feeling when it comes to Pluto moving back into 29 degrees Capricorn today. And by the way, Pluto's going to be in Capricorn now for a couple months. Let's see. Okay. Gonna get the day here. So it looks like Pluto. Oh, wow. Jesus. I didn't realize Pluto's going to be in Capricorn until January 21st, 2024. Oh my God, why is that making me laugh? For some reason in my mind, I thought it was gonna be like 4 months or something. So just to see that it's like the rest of the year and beyond, we have Pluto's influence in Capricorn. That's kind of funny. And Ellis, you said, I need the thing from my past to stop popping up. I'm so tired. Yes, I feel that. I feel that so hard. Like we might kind of be feeling like, why is this lesson continuing to come up? Or why is this person continuing to knock on my door, both literally and energetically? Like, what am I not getting, or what is here to be resolved in this sort of process? And just in a different way too, again, we're thinking about the past in a different way. We're sort of evolving our view of how we viewed ourselves in the past and how we viewed others in the past. And potentially, I think there's kind of like a forgiveness moment kind of in the air. Especially something I was noticing too, with Mars and Venus right now in Leo, conjunct in Leo. The last time Mars and Venus were conjunct in Leo was July 2021. And I don't know if anybody, like, remembers anything important about their lives right off the top of their heads from July 2021. But there was a Venus-Mars conjunction in Leo during that time. And it's possible that it's bringing up things specifically that were revved up during that time might also be mirroring back to us now. That's what's fascinating about astrology, my friends. Like, we can literally say, like, wow, like, why is this coming up again? And we're, like, looking back to the same lesson. Okay, so I wanna kind of tune in today a little bit more with Pluto. But, Katie, you said, I had some wild dreams last night, also reading Rachel Pollack for the first time, so my mind's been blown. Yeah. Yeah, Rachel Pollack, RIP. I think she recently passed away. I do kind of want to tap into Pluto, but first, I have a Malaysia story for you guys. You guys can take a drink. It's the drinking game. Every time I talk about Malaysia, you can, when I was in Malaysia, living in Malaysia, teaching English, one of the biggest life kind of reflections for me was that in Malaysia, there was like five very distinct categories of your life that were completely out of your control and like up to the sort of lottery of the teaching program that I was in. Okay. And one of those things was your housing placement. So your house, the person you lived with, like your roommate, the other American teacher who was going to be like kind of like your partner. So you have your house, your roommate, your mentor, who's like an actual, like, is a Malaysian person working at your school. Your school itself, the system that your school is in, and your students at that school. And then your literal location of like where in Malaysia they're going to place you. Okay, so, like, there's these, like, five things. Location, mentor, roommate, house, and school. Like, that are completely, basically, out of your control. Like, maybe at the time there was some preference given to the people who knew, like, what location they wanted to be placed in. But, like, overall, like, it's just kind of a lottery. It's just kind of like a luck of the draw, right? And I witnessed in my own experience and other teachers, you know, teaching around me and their experience, I was like, no one has the perfect five things, right? Like, some people absolutely love their school and absolutely love their students, but their mentor wouldn't even talk to them. Their house had termites, but it was in a beautiful location, and they loved their roommate, you know, like, or they hated their roommate, and their roommate was a nightmare, but their mentor was literally an angel and cooked them dinner every night, and their school was kind of hard because the school didn't have much funding, but, you know, this or that, right? For me personally, like, with my story, like, my mentor was great, my school was great, my location was great, but there was maybe some iffy things at times with, like, my roommate situation, And also maybe just in general location was a little bit hard at times too. So you kind of get what I'm saying here. Like in this experience, like it kind of put this like perspective in my face that at any given time in your life, your categories are never completely perfect, right? Like in any given time, like if your relationship's going well, you know, something, some shit is going on with like your housing situation, you know, or like if your health is really great, you're fighting with your mom, you know, or like you're totally like so happy with the friend group that you have, but every single date you go on is like a complete disaster. You know, like there's something there about like different categories in our lives never being completely perfect. But tying that back into Pluto and Pluto coming back into 29 degrees Capricorn, not to sound cheesy, but I think the things that are potentially sort of going wrong, or those categories in our life that feel like they're filled with imbalance, or the categories in our lives that kind of feel like they're filled with sadness even, or grief, or anger, or just like maybe unhappiness, or those quote unquote unsatisfactory emotions. It's possible right now that Pluto is sort of bringing some attention to those points in our life that are the ones where we pulled the shortest stick, quote unquote, right? Or so we thought. Like they're the points in our life where that we feel like there's a sore spot or there's an imbalance, right? And as Pluto kind of starts to highlight a little bit about those things, like a little bit about those imbalances or those categories of our life that isn't quote unquote going great. There's also this like kind of beautiful moment here where we might have the opportunity to see that category from a different perspective. And that kind of goes back to Pluto being at 29 degrees Aquarius. Or sorry, 29 degrees Capricorn. Pluto's been here before. We've experienced Pluto at 29 degrees Capricorn before. Actually, a few times. Like, since 2019, we've experienced Pluto in these later degrees of Capricorn. More times than we would probably like. You know, if you've gone through a huge transformation or like a really surprising evolution in your life, like odds are that Pluto transit in the later degrees of Capricorn was activating something in your chart, right? And now, though, we're coming at this later degrees of Capricorn that Pluto is now moving through once again. We're coming at it from a different perspective. Why? Well, we just spent at least a little bit of time with Pluto in Aquarius. He didn't get very far. Pluto only got to like 1 degree Aquarius because Pluto moves so slow, right? But we got a little further. We finally got past whatever is being revved up by that later degree of Capricorn, right? We finally got past it just for a second. We gained some kind of perspective, or something transmuted itself. Something has shifted. Some level of awareness has come through. When it comes to, again, how we think about those maybe quote unquote imbalanced categories of our lives, right? And now that Pluto is coming back to 29 degrees Aquarius, there's a bit of a reevaluation going on. How did I deal with this thing in the past? How do I deal with it now? How did I treat this person in the past, and how can I see them differently now? How did I have a lot of hate and anger for, this member of my family before, and how am I seeing them in a different way now? Katie, you said, yes, I have been sitting with my bitterness about certain things. Yeah, like we might kind of feel like that for a second. Because when we feel irritated, when we feel bitter, when we feel agitated, you know, when we feel a little bit anxious, it's usually some kind of energy wanting to be transmuted. And I do believe there's like going to be a lot of wisdom from this Pluto retrograde. So not that we really want to revisit, what's been going on, like the deepest parts of our transformation in the past couple years. Right now there's something that's coming to light with this Pluto moment. Now the other thing I was going to say too, who's been watching The Ultimatum season 2? Anybody? Anybody? All right, my friends, like, you gotta watch the show. Especially if you're into, like, dating, reality TV dating shows. But even if you're not, it's just such a good show. It's, like, ruining my life in a lot of ways, but it's such a good show. And if you don't know the premise of The Ultimatum, I'll describe it to you. So basically, four couples are coming together to this show. And within the four couples, one person in each of the couples is issuing an ultimatum to their partner and saying, like, you haven't been ready to get married or you haven't been ready to take the next step in a long time. Like, now this is the ultimatum. Like, you either choose me or we're parting ways. And then all of the people start dating each other for like 3 or 4 weeks to like get some perspective on the ultimatum that they either issued or were issued to that or was issued to them. And basically in this like limbo period of them like dating all of the couples dating each other, guess what happens, guys? Like the deepest childhood wounding comes out from pretty much every single person on the show. And I learned a lot about myself, actually, in my own attachment style, by watching this show. Like, it was kind of amazing in a disturbing way. And if you identify with, like, anxious attachment or avoidant attachment, or if you've read the book Attached, you all know what the book I'm talking about, the white background with the red heart. I always forget who wrote Attached. Wow, like, what a gift is that? That show is a gift because you guys are going to think I'm crazy talking about how, like, a dating reality show is a gift. By the way, I'm specifically talking about season 2, the lesbian season. Don't even watch the first season. I haven't watched it. Like, season 2. You don't need to watch the first season to watch the second season. Like, the show is, like, again, such a gift for, like, mirroring back to us how our attachment styles and how, and what really is attachment style. It's, like, a sort of iteration of our childhood wounds, right? It's an iteration of how we received love or how we learned to give love in childhood. That's really what an attachment style is, right? Like, the extremism, let's say, of how the attachment styles are presented in this show. Like, we can learn a lot. And the reason I bring this up is because guess what planet brings up attachment? It's Pluto. Why does Pluto bring up attachment? Well, Pluto's related to our sort of ancestral stories. It's related to our family karma. It's related to power dynamics. It's related to abuse. It can be related to the deepest healing moments, right? So we might find for some reason or another, with whatever is being reevaluated in our lives at this moment, whatever piece of the past is coming up to be transmuted, we may find that there's something about attachment style, whether it's like anxious or avoidant attachment or mixed attachment, there's something there that's coming up where we might be coming to a deeper realization, like, oh, yeah, that's why I've been pushing that person away. Or like, ooh, yeah, that's why that person couldn't really meet me where I was. Or like, ooh, like, that's why we interacted like that. A lot of interpersonal dynamic kind of realizations may be coming up with this Pluto thing. The other planetary kind of moment that's happening this week, starting today, actually, today the transit is exact. We have Venus in Leo squaring Jupiter in Taurus. So we have the two benefic planets, right? The two planets that supposedly bring good things. Venus, planet of love, Jupiter, planet of expansion, are in a tension aspect with each other, right? They're in a square with each other. So it's like, what happens when both benefic planets are at tension with each other? And not only are they in a square, but they're in a fixed sign square. And I think specifically when the fixed signs are in a square, there's something kind of especially frustrating. Because out of all the signs, the fixed signs don't want to move. Again, I think I used this metaphor last week, imagine how two bulls fight. They're not like beating each other up, they're not like attacking each other, they're just like pushing their horns against each other, like, and like it's that tension of like pushing each other, and they're not even really moving that much, right? Like, it's just like this intense force that they're putting against each other. That is kind of like a fixed sign square. there's just like something with Venus and Jupiter right now where potentially it's like it could be very much about relationship tension for sure. But I think ultimately it's also about tension between us and sort of a relationship to change, our relationship to our own healing journey. That's kind of what I'm feeling like with Venus and Jupiter. I also feel like I need to pull some cards for this transit, though. And I would love to know, like, comment below, with this Pluto in the 29th degree of Capricorn, kind of paired with Venus squaring Jupiter, have you noticed an increase in not relationship drama, but like, have you noticed like there's more energy around the tension between you and someone else? Have you realized or noted that there's more tension when it comes to how you perhaps are changing and evolving versus how another person is changing, evolving, choosing to learn their lessons. And Sam, I love what you said here. It makes me think of how sometimes we have to fight for the good of things that are ultimately for our good. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Like, there could be, like, the ultimatum, the dating show. Those couples are going through a very weird, torturous, even, circumstance that is, like, super triggering in order to, like, hopefully make it to the end and want to marry each other. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense. And we're obviously not all on a dating show right now, although I might have to get myself on one soon. because I'm not doing so well on my own. But, you know, there's something here about, like, what is the ultimate good of this moment? What's the ultimate purpose of, like, forgiving? And what does break the tension? It's usually forgiveness is the thing that might break the tension. Yeah, Venus and Jupiter, they're like, what good thing could break the tension? Could it be laughter? Could it be forgiveness? Could it be love? Could it be a healing conversation? You know, there's just something there, like, with how we choose to go about breaking this tension. And Ellis, you said, right when I feel good about someone else, my ex started flirting with me again. LOL, why? Oh my God. Well, yeah, it's that attachment stuff, right? Because we want to be chosen, right? So, like, when someone from our past, you know, is starting to move on, and we have this big wound about being chosen, yeah, of course we want to reach out and we want to text them and we want to, like, rev things up. Is it because we actually desire to be with that person, love that person, give that person what they need? Maybe, but oftentimes it's just coming from that inner child wound where, like, someone really, really wants to be chosen. And that's the story here, right? Jess, you said, I bet going on a dating show would get you a lot of astro clients. Legit, guys, I like would for sure go on a dating show. Probably not for my own self, but I would for sure be the dating show's astrologer. Like, I think that would be so fun. That is actually kind of like a low-key career manifestation for me. Like, what kind of, like, TV show thing could I appear on as the astrologer? That would be so fun for me. Gabby, you said, I've definitely been feeling a slow building tension. I've been feeling myself ready to evolve and feeling almost like a pushback from people in my life who are unwilling. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 'Cause, you know, and we were talking about this too last week, the lesson continues. Venus in Leo and Mars in Leo sitting together. It's a I'm right lesson. It's like a I'm right about your wound. And I'm right about how I perceive you. I'm right about how I'm perceiving the situation. And you may very well be right, right? That's the thing. But, like, until that other person comes to the realization themselves, there's nothing. There, like, it's like we can't. Like, we can't completely, you know, have that healing understanding. And going back to the ultimatum, again, there were moments like that where, like, you just hate certain characters of this show. Y'all, you gotta go binge watch this today. Go binge watch The Ultimatum so you get what I'm saying. But, like, there were points in this show where, like, you just, like, hate this character. Because you're like, oh my god, they can't see what they're doing. They can't see, like, that they're so toxic. But then at some point, they say something like, wow, I was wrong. And you just, like, melt with compassion for them. Because you're like, yeah, like, that person was toxic, but they finally realized why they were doing it, and only they could realize it. Yeah. And that could be, too, the Venus-Mars conjunction squaring Jupiter, Pluto moving back into 29 degrees Capricorn. Like, you have to give people the right to their own realizations, the right to having their own realizations. And even though it's frustrating, when you see something about a person, the way that they're acting, and you so clearly see their wounding, or you so clearly see that if only they realized what they were doing, you know, their life would be better. But we have to give people, like, the right to their own realization. You know, we have to give people the right to their own journey, even though Venus-Mars conjunction sometimes makes us revved up and makes us want to interfere. Alexandra, you said, I have reflected on my relationship. I feel like I am evolving and I'm not on the same level as my partner. Totally. I feel like a lot of people feel that way. Like, most relationship stuff that comes through my office, the office of lunacy, yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's the relationship story or issue that we're talking about with astrology stuff. Like, why am I evolving and I feel like my partner's not? And I think the truth is, like, as The Ultimatum shows us, you guys are gonna kill me. As The Ultimatum shows us, to evolve, pain is necessary in some way, like feeling our pain or seeing how we were in the wrong or seeing, like, our own patterning. And people don't want to feel their pain. You know, people really do spend a lifetime avoiding, you know, what they went through in childhood, or they spend a lifetime putting up walls so people can't, like, completely love them, you know. And it's sad, but again, there's something about the Pluto in 29 degrees Aquarius. It's, like, telling me, like, we owe people the right to their own journey, their own realizations about themselves. And for some people, it takes longer. And sometimes the only thing we can do, maybe, is inspire them with our own healing journey. Because if we try to put a gun to someone's head and be like, go to therapy, goddammit. Face your inner child wounds. Admit your mom's a nutcase. Admit that, you know, your dad did this. It's never gonna work. It's like, even though Venus and Mars conjunct in Leo make us want to do that. make us want to, like, just smack someone over the head and be like, yo, here's the mirror. Take a look. But then that's our own shadow, right? That's our own shadow. So we see how our own shadow, our own ego story, gets involved with it, too. Sam, you said, oh my god, I want you to be on Drew Barrymore's show chatting about astrology. That would literally be a dream. Let's manifest it. I love Drew Barrymore. She is a Pisces queen. And Allison, you said, I feel like July 2021, I was in a toxic, anxiously attached relationship. And currently with dating someone I can have a healthy conflict conversation with. It's totally full circle evolution. Yeah. Yeah. I think that could be happening for some of us too in this moment. Like, if we feel like we haven't completely met in the past, maybe we weren't completely able to meet that person who can, like, take us along on the journey, or go along our journey with us, we might be feeling like right now maybe we are running into that person that is on our level of our journey, or we might be feeling like it's time for us to maybe have some important conversations with our own partner, you know, to maybe spur some of that inspiration to grow as well. Yeah, I feel like as much as I would like to force some people to grow, yeah, you can never force someone to grow. You can inspire them to grow with your own growth. But you can't force someone to change and grow, you know. That could be the medicine, guys. That could be the medicine for the Venus-Mars conjunction and the benefic square. Yeah. How can I inspire this person to grow instead of trying to force the growth upon them? Let's pull a card. Let's pull something from the sacred symbols for the collective. Okay, I think in light of my hangover, if you didn't hear this at the beginning, mommy's hungover. So in light of my hangover, actually, let's do a collective reading, a collective poll. So I'm going to do three cards and you can pick which one is your card. Okay. So let's just tune into this right now. Okay, we'll call in our guides, ancestors, helping spirits, any light beings that want to be here now in this moment to help channel a collective message for any of the witch church goers, witch church listeners. And I'm seeing the numbers 3, 7, and 9. So go ahead and just tune in to which number feels right for you to choose. 3, 7, or 9. Okay. Okay, let's see here. Okay, 9s. If you picked 9, you got good fortune. And I kind of got I have a feeling too. It's funny, when I was seeing the number 9, I was also seeing a lot of sunflowers. And for me, like, sunflowers are kind of a plant spirit that has to do with, like, happiness and joy and, sort of inviting abundance in. And the fact that you got good fortune, I also have a feeling that some people who chose 9 are like, what the fuck? Good fortune. Yeah, right. I'm cursed. Bad things just keep happening. Like, I kind of feel this natural resistance to, like, such a positive card for anybody who chose 9. So I'm wondering, like, if the benefic square at this moment is, between Venus and Jupiter, perhaps is asking you to evaluate or reevaluate your relationship with maybe thinking positively or thinking in the most optimistic way. Or it's not quite that, like that sounds too fluffy. It feels like a sort of, well, what if everything is gonna go right? Or like, what if everything is going to work out? What if that was the mantra here in this moment? That feels like what good fortune is calling in for people who chose nine. How can you shift from the worst case scenario to a mantra that is sort of about this moment really being for you, right? And I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that in a love and light way where I'm like, ignore the pain, gaslight our emotions, and just focus on positive things. It's not that, but it's like a but and situation. Like, I'm having doubts about this, and this moment is meant for me and leading to, you know, expansion. It could be something as simple as that. Okay, nines, I'm excited for you. Let's go to the people who picked the three. Healer. I'm also seeing an octopus that popped into my mind. An octopus. For me, that animal has to do with the things that we are sort of attached to or sort of suctioning onto, or the things that we're having trouble letting go. You know, an octopus has 8 tentacles, so like could potentially lift and carry around and sort of drag a lot with them. But the fact that you got the healer, for those of you who picked number 3, it's almost like what you're having trouble letting go of in this moment is the thing later that is going to be like this, the deepest, most powerful healing power that you have. Like, whatever you're letting go of now, maybe it's a painful story about a divorce, or a painful story about like wanting to switch jobs, or a sort of really stressful story about like buying a house or moving to a new city or whatever. Like the thing that feels the most cluttered in letting it go, or in sort of calling in the transmutation of that cluttered thing, not only does your life get better and not only do you feel healing from that, but you're then able to help someone else through this moment, or through the moment later. Like, it's almost like you're gonna meet someone a couple years down the line who's in the exact thing that you're in right now, and you're going to be able to give them advice and guidance about how to get through it. Like, that's how wise this moment of letting go is for you. So don't take it for granted. And, like, there's just a lot of wisdom in the transmutation process right now. Okay, so I really wonder what's going to come from that for number 3. And then finally, we've got 7. If you pick 7, we got Earth, the element Earth. Okay, I'm going to tune into this for a second, because I don't quite get it yet. Okay, so the advice, you know, moving through these energies at this moment for number seven or Earth, there's something specifically for some of the number sevens, it's like relationship to the body is changing. Like, maybe that has to do with nourishing yourself in a different way, moving in a different way. Maybe some of you are learning to see yourself as like sexy and sensual and attractive and beautiful. Maybe some of you are sort of improving your self-confidence over certain things that have to do with the body. Maybe some of you are, you know, I don't know, like getting maybe some of you are getting a surgery or like getting a tattoo, like changing something about your appearance. I don't know why appearance comes through so strongly. So it's like some of the sevens are on this journey of maybe like making peace with their beauty and also making the choices that make them feel like most alive in their bodies. Maybe some sevens are shaking off this benefic T-square. I guess it's a benefic fixed square. You know, there's something here about the way you're using your body to transmute this energy. If it doesn't actually have to do with, like, your physicality or, like, your self-esteem around how you're showing up, it more has to do with the energy that you're holding. And sometimes if we're feeling a little bit down about ourselves or, you know, our ego stories about our meat suits kind of take over, sometimes there's something that I think about, which is just like, how do I make myself feel strong today? Like physically strong. How do I make my sort of aura or my energetic shield feel really strong today? Like, do I go meditate outside and grow my field? Do I eat a really nourishing meal? Do I get some sort of cleansing or some sort of, energy healing that can tend to my energetic system? But there's something very physical for the sevens coming through. So, I wonder what's going to evolve with that, but it feels like it's exciting. Alice, you said this is so funny. I've been thinking about starting hormone therapy. That is interesting. Yeah. Cause I was like, what is it? What is this? Like, yeah, I think the sevens might be going through a little bit of a journey. I picked seven as well, and yeah, getting stronger, and building muscle and sort of nourishing myself and focusing on things like good digestion and getting vitamins and like getting electrolytes and like putting good things into my body. Like, that has felt like a really good part of my life, even if my like actual body image isn't great every day. Like, if I just focus on that's a really good, that's a really good thing for me to just like, okay, how do I make my energy feel strong today? And Annie, you said definitely lots of self-care, priority and new perspective on how I can nurture myself. Yeah, Annie, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm glad to have your energy here right now. Armchair astrologer, you said I pick seven spot on. Leo rising, so getting ready to have a Venus retrograde in the first. LOL. Okay. Emmy, you said popped on late, but wow, the healer and the earth messages both resonated strongly. They're yours. If the message resonates, it is yours. Okay. All right, friends. Thanks for sticking through Witch Church this morning. I think I need to go eat another piece of toast. But thank you for your hangover. Advice. I saw some advice for hash browns. That kind of feels good. Just gotta no wonder I picked 7. Spirit's like, you're fucking hungover. Go nourish your body. Okay. Yeah. Okay, friends. Let me know how this week goes. Keep an eye on that Pluto, 29 degrees Capricorn. Keep an eye on that Venus and Mars in Leo. Think back to July 2021. What was going on then? Is there any parallels to what's going on now? Yeah. Okay. I care about all of you a lot. So I'll see you next week.